And welcome to This Week in MCU, the weekly after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Sen Raven.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing all right.
So we just came off of Black Panther recently, and now we've got the Guardians Holiday Special, and we actually hadn't covered the Werewolf by Night Special, so we're going to do both of those today. Two separate podcast feeds or streams, episodes, whatever.
Episodes.
Yeah, I can't think words today. But before we get to any of that, any news from around the MCU?
Actually, the page that I had loaded up just crashed out on me. So.
Oh, sweet.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Well, I've got one thing.
Love technology. What do you have?
So, you know how on Disney Plus they do these behind-the-scenes type shows? They've been calling them Marvel Legends.
And they've been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, so apparently they did one on Mantis or Drax and Mantis before the holiday special came out, and it spoiled something from the holiday special.
Oh,
so they pulled it.
Oh.
Now I know what they spoiled because I didn't watch the Legends special. I only watched the Guardians special, but I then looked it up afterwards, and I know what they spoiled, and I understand why they wanted to keep it the way it was. And what happened was they had revealed a deleted scene from Guardians 2.
Okay.
And that deleted scene informs something that happens in the holiday special. So we'll talk about it when we get to it. But so they pulled that this week. Otherwise, though, yeah, it seems like it's been a bit quiet.
It has been.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of thinking back on Black Panther quite a bit. I thought that was great. I really enjoyed that movie. I'm not 100% sold on Namor.
No.
I'm
fine with Namor. The movie was like I look past it for everything else that the movie does.
Right.
I don't really have a problem with the way they change his look, so that's fine for me.
Oh, yeah, I don't care about that part of it. I just didn't... Look, I have a hard time with Namor generally anyway because his arrogance really rubs me the wrong way, even in the comics. So, it is what it is. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play him with the mutants and how they play him with Fantastic Four.
Right.
So, because there's a lot of backstory for both of those things. So, all right. So, with that, let's go ahead and jump into it. If you want to follow us, you can follow us on twitch.tv/VOByKurt. Excuse me. Or subscribe to the podcast by going to anchor.fm/thisweekinmcu with dashes in between, or just search for This Week in MCU for all of your podcatchers. If you want to watch us live, well, we need to have content to be able to watch us live about. So the next time you can watch us live is probably going to be the next Marvel movie or TV series. I don't remember which is coming first. It might just be Quantumania.
I think Quantumania is the next thing up.
And that's February. So have a good little break. Maybe we'll throw something in here somewhere about something. I don't know. We'll figure something out. I've been toying with the idea of going back through the MCU movies and breaking those down from Iron Man 1. That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of stuff to do.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll do that. We might sprinkle things in here and there. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, you can send an email to thisweekinmcu@gmail.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever they're calling it today, we will read it live when we record the podcast. As always, there are spoilers. If you have not seen, this episode is Werewolf by Night. If you've not seen it yet, go back and watch it. A, because you really should watch it. And B, because you will get spoiled. And with that, we jump right into it. So at the very beginning of this, we get a Marvel Studios special presentation, which just brought back that feeling of like the CBS specials that they did in the 80s, you know, that down, 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 and just the rotating thing. It was just, it was very, very nostalgic feeling, which made me happy, made me very happy. We get the Marvel Flicker, which is interrupted by slashes across the screen and put into black and white mode. All right, cool. I'm digging it so far. And then we get old-timey intro cards, which looks very much like Universal Monsters monster movie intros. It was, I just love the vibe of this whole thing. So we get the title card and we get the black and white picture of the Avengers, which is just like an illustration, and it scans down to a picture of a monster, and there's a Vincent Price type voiceover.
Which was great.
It was so good. And I think that voiceover was done by Rick Wasserman, who does the voice of Thor in the cartoons.
Okay.
But he just had that old-timey horror movie feel to him. It was very, very cool. And one of the first things we see is a diagram with a monster head on it and a bunch of Latin, which, of course, I translated.
Of course.
And it said, Monstrum alatum de virtute et pietate efficaciter atque omnino corrupta or corrupta.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, not at all. And it really, it translates roughly, thank you Google Translate, to a winged monster effectively and completely corrupted from virtue and piety. So, evil monster.
So, right.
We get more illustrations that show monsters and those who hunt them, most notably the Bloodstone family with a picture of the Bloodstone itself. And there's another illustration that says Ulysses Bloodstone fights a Sasquatch, also known as Bigfoot, in British Columbia. Now, because they mentioned British Columbia, some YouTube videos are going, are they talking about Sasquatch from Alpha Flight? Or
they might be.
And is there a Wolverine thing coming up in here? It's like, okay. And yeah, they might be talking about Sasquatch from Alpha Flight. I don't think so, because Ulysses is wicked old. And then they have the Bloodstone, and it says it's a weapon unlike any other. And Ulysses has died. And so the weapon needs a new master. And tonight is his funeral. So we see the hunters. There's a number of hunters that have gathered for a ceremonial hunt to determine who next wields the Bloodstone. And we see a diagram of just that whole ceremony type thing. We don't get the names of any of the hunters right away. And in fact, we don't get the names of a couple of the hunters at all.
Yeah.
Until the credits. until I look them up in the credits. But we open, and I'm going to call him Jack because he's the main character, and it's just going to be easier to describe him because in captioning and in the audio description, they call him the dark-haired man. Well, okay, great.
Yeah, it's still Jack, though.
It's Jack. So we open on Jack entering the main room with the other hunters, and we see all these taxidermied monster heads mounted on the walls around this giant room. And we see guards that are surrounding the room, and the guards all look like TVA guards.
That was a little weird.
It was weird because they're not TVA guards. And when we get a close-up shot of one of their uniforms, there's actually what appears to be an animal paw print on their uniform.
Right.
So, that being said, their armor and everything is very TVA looking, and they have shock sticks. So,
the whole thing was like,
yeah,
very like just taken for TVA, or considering that we don't know when TVA is set for, so right. It's a little hard to say who took from who, but right. I'm guessing they stole from TVA.
Maybe, yeah. So. We see a redstone above all, and this is all in black and white, except for the bloodstone. The bloodstone's
red. Which was a really cool touch.
It's a really nice touch, yeah. And the hunters start talking, and Elsa shows up. Verusa, who is Ulysses, may not be his wife, but she's his lover. Former lover, because he's dead. So she's in Vales, and then she confronts Elsa about why she wants the Bloodstone. And we find out Ulysses is actually Elsa's dad. And we knew this, a bunch of us knew this going in, because it's Elsa Bloodstone. It's
right. Yeah.
So, but there's clearly no love lost between Verusa and Elsa. And Verusa is talking about the number of deaths per hunter that's there, and she's going around the room. She's going, oh, you've got 50 and you've got 37, and she gets to Jack and you've got over 100.
Yeah.
And the other hunters are going, really? Okay. And she thanks, Verusa thanks them all for being there. And Ulysses arranged a final message to address the hunters. And this was the weirdest thing. I even wrote the word weird. Where he basically sets up his own corpse as an animatronic.
Yeah, that it was a bit on the creepy side,
yep.
But kind of cool.
And it's because you don't know exactly. Well, this is set. This is supposed to be set in 2025. But because it's all black and white, it gets weird. The way that the animatronic works is a giant crank gets put, like a wind-up toy, gets put into the side of the coffin, and the butler, whose name is Billy Swan, which is just a weird name for the butler, but he winds him up, and he starts moving and talking, and it's weirdly creepy, but not as creepy as Verusa when she says that he was a fantastic lover and holds his dead hand
while he's moving around. Just a little TMI.
Yeah, a little bit. So, basically Ulysses says that they're to face a monster on the grounds, and the hunter who slays the beast takes the bloodstone, because the bloodstone's going to be attached to the beast. And the monster that has the bloodstone attached also gets weakened, because the bloodstone basically repels monsters. So
it's draining the monster's power.
Right. So there are weapons placed throughout all the hunting grounds, and so they're whatever they have with them they can't use, but they can find the ones on the hunting grounds and use those. And and they say that those who don't survive will be honored appropriately, whatever that means. And they
made it to stuff toys.
Right. And it looks like they pull runes to decide who goes first. All right. Cool. And it looks like Jack goes first, followed by Elsa. And we hear the monster roar. This is where I put the note that the guards look like the TVA. Just because we see some good shots of them. But we get an overview of the hunting grounds, and it's this walled-in city in a maze format. Presumably they've used this for this ceremony for a very long time.
It sounds like, that's their thing to do.
Right. And Elsa is looking around. Oh, and all the hunters are being released one at a time to go hunt, because that's just why they pulled the runes. But Elsa is looking around, and for some reason, she stumbles upon a gramophone with a song playing on it. Not sure why it was even playing. It's very weird. But Elsa stops it, and she bumps into Jack. And Jack goes, look, let's just go by each other. We don't need to do anything. Because the other thing is, the hunters are allowed to kill each other in order to get to the Bloodstone.
Right.
So one of the other hunters shows up, Scottish guy, who we find his name is Jovan. And
that's a Scottish name.
Yep. Nice Scottish name. And Elsa gets away after fighting him a bit, because everybody kind of wants Elsa's head, because she kind of turned away from the family business. She wasn't basically accepting her hunter role. So Elsa, through this fight, Elsa gets away with the axe that the Scotsman found, and she ends up passing through a doorway, and the doorway appears to have handprints and footprints on the ground that are smoldering, as if a monster has gone by. All right, cool. One of the other hunters is this Asian dude, who I can't remember his name, but I have it. I think I have them all written down at the bottom of this description here. But the Asian hunter, he has a wrist launcher where he can shoot bolts from his wrist. And Elsa traps him behind a door, takes the axe that she got off the Scotsman's or off the Scotsman, and chops the dude's hand off, which is how she gets a hold of his wrist shooter. And so dude keeps fighting back, and Elsa shoots him in the face, up through the chin, but still.
I don't think she wanted to. It's just, you know, stop fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
I already got your arm.
Yep. So they fight. Elsa wins. Dude dies. Scotsman shows up again, finds his axe on the ground because Elsa had dropped it.
She upgraded.
She's upgraded, and she is hiding on the side, you know, in the brush with the dead Asian dude. So we hear the monster roar, and we flip back over to Jack, and Jack is looking around, and he comes up to a bush, and a monster hand reaches through the bush at Jack, and we see for the first time it is Man-Thing.
Which in black and white, he looks really cool.
Amazing. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a detour here. Man-Thing debuted in the comics in 1971, as did Swamp Thing. And everybody...
I didn't know they came out at the same time.
Yeah, so Man-Thing debuted in May. Swamp Thing debuted in July of 1971.
Okay.
And Jerry Conway, one of the writers of Man-Thing, was roommates with Len Wein, the writer of Swamp Thing.
Oh, God. And a torrid affair. I stole all his work.
And the reason why there wasn't a lawsuit between DC and Marvel on this is because Jerry Conway had modeled his after there was an old movie monster called The Heap.
Okay.
And because the original design of the Man-Thing looked more like The Heap than what it looks like right now, they didn't want to get sued by the monster movie people.
So they decided not to sue the other companies.
Right, right. So they're just going to shut up and go their own ways.
Right. That's great.
So it was weird because I knew one of them came before, but I didn't realize it was the same year, and it was like literally months before.
Like two, a month apart.
Yeah, it's crazy. So So that was some fun little trivia I found out there about that. Let's see. So Jack notices that it's Man-Thing, and they know each other. And Jack is going, look, you can't keep counting on me to save you. Like, when you get yourself in these predicaments. And he's talking to him like a friend. And in true Marvel fashion, Man-Thing does his grunting, groaning, non-English speaking, just... And the person who's closest to him knows what he's saying. It's kind of like the Groot thing in Rocket.
Right.
So he sees that the Bloodstone is on the back of the Man-Thing. And another hunter starts showing up, who I've entitled Bowie Dude. Because he's really skinny, dressed all in white. And you could see David Bowie playing this part.
Yeah.
So Jack takes off. Bowie's chasing him. Jack enters a crypt chamber where Elsa happens to be hanging out and accidentally locks the door behind him. And so they can't get out at the moment. But we see a bunch of names on the crypts. And I wrote them all down. There's only one that appears to be of any consequence. But there's a David Long, born June 12th, 1882, and died February 28th, 1961. There's a Mike Brandonin Clayla, which is an Easter egg for Brandon Clayla, the art director.
Oh, cute.
Who, born in May 5th, 1885, February 28th, 1961, is when he died. Jacob Howell McDougall. July 1861 to March 1907. We see Elsa is hurt. She's bleeding, and Jack is offering to help. And they have a pretty lengthy conversation about whether or not she's doing the tourniquet right, which was a little weird to me. It's just like, well, if you don't do it right, it's not going to help. Okay, fine. And so Jack helps. They start talking, and Jack says that he's not the same type of hunter that the others are. And Elsa asks why he wants the stone if he's not a hunter, and he says, I don't. I'm just here to help my friend, who's a monster, and I want to get him out alive. And then we see a couple more of the crypts. Francis Brisbane Bloodstone, Aunt Francis, 1873 to 1922. Annabelle Andrea Graciella. This one appeared to me like, if I had to guess, somebody on the set had three daughters or a wife and two daughters. And they're all names of the... Yeah. Annabelle Andrea Graciella. 1922-1968. Griffith Burke Wandonsky, January 4th, 1935, September 17th, 1986. Beverly, it just says Beverly, September... 1, 1932 to November 12th, 1986, and there's a little Latin underneath. From what I could tell, it says Virtute Obce or OBCE is what it looked like. Obce, and if I put that into translate, it says by virtue of the village.
Everybody killed her.
Maybe she was a witch. Yeah. I mean, who knows? But that's kind of what it felt like. Although. Between 1932 and 1986. I mean, she died in 86.
Okay.
So, weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know of a Marvel character with the name of Beverly other than the girl that Howard the Duck hooked up with. But
they need to do a remake.
Yeah, well, okay. So, Elsa, because remember, they're still locked in this mausoleum. And Elsa remembers old Aunt Frances, where she said if she ever came back, you know, she'd find a way. And because of that, she knew she needed a way to get out of the mausoleum, so she buried herself with a set of keys.
It's just prudent, you know.
Yeah, and convenient. So
yeah.
So Elsa's gonna. It seems like she's gonna help Jack. She gives him an explosive and says, "Hey, go to this part of the wall. There's a crack in it. Throw this explosive at the wall, and it'll stick, and you'll be able to. It'll blow a hole, and you can get him out. Cool." So Jack says that when she runs into the monster, if she runs into him, just treat him like an old friend and call him by his name, which happens to be Ted.
It's Ted.
And his name is actually Ted Salas. It does follow the comics. Who became the Man-Thing when he tried to inject himself with super soldier serum. And did, but then immediately fell into a swamp.
Like, really, if you're going to inject yourself with super soldier serum, do it in the lab. Do it right. In a secure location. Don't do it in a swamp.
Right. Well, swamps in comics have special properties, right?
So, yeah, they also bad things happen.
Right. Well, it's like Swamp Thing. His whole thing was there was a lab accident. His lab happened to be in the swamp.
In the swamp.
There was a lab accident. His lab blew up, blew him into the swamp. All the chemicals that he was working with mixed with the swamp water and gas, and he became
Swamp Thing.
So Jack is like making his way to that cracked wall, but along the way, he's fiddling around with the explosive. And
she didn't really tell him how to turn it on.
Right. So he activates it. And so now he's running to try to find the wall. We flip to the Scotsman. And we see the Man-Thing show up. Wrap the Scotsman's head around one hand. Or with one hand. And burn his head off. Like, because that's the other thing about the Man-Thing is... he who knows fear... burns at the touch of the Man-Thing. So usually people get scared when he's around, so it's easier. Easy to burn people.
It's a little nice little loophole he found for himself there.
Right. So Elsa shows up and she and the Man-Thing's ready to just like attack her. And she goes, "Ted, just want to let you know, Jack's waiting for you." And as soon as she says Ted, this is a masterful CGI or puppetry or however they did it, but you see Ted's face drop is like, "What? How are you calling me by my name?" It was very, very cool. I liked it quite a bit. So we flip over to Jack, and Jack throws the explosive, which is supposed to stick to the wall, but doesn't. In fact, it bounces off the wall, and so he goes, "Oh my God," and he goes and he grabs it again. Throws it at the wall, or puts it on the wall, and it doesn't stick, and so he sticks it in a crack,
and which is what he should have just done right away. But apparently it's supposed to stick, right? So it's just a broken one,
right? So he happened to choose the one non-magnetic wall,
right?
Made of stone,
because stone walls are magnetic,
right? So Elsa leads Ted to where Jack is, and the wall gets blown up. Ted goes to take off. Elsa happens to grab the stone because she picked up a stone clamper weapon that she was able to pull it off of Ted, makes him stronger. But Ted takes off. Jack goes to pick up the stone that has fallen on the ground, but he gets blasted back. And of course, at the time that he gets blasted back, because he's a monster, he can't pick it up. Everybody shows up, including Verusa.
Of course.
And she's like going, what's up here? And then I put the TVA, because I can't get that vision out of my head. TVA shocks Jack, and we get fade to black. Because Jack has passed out. And we open with Jack opening his eyes, lying on his back in a cage. And we find out Elsa is also in the cage. And Elsa's ticked off because she's finding out now that Jack is actually a monster. And he's explaining, "Look, yeah, but, I control it. And I do these exercises and whatnot." And what's that?
And I'm a nice monster.
I'm a nice monster. And look, it's, you know, I only have to worry about it on a full moon, and it's 5 days until a full moon. We're perfectly fine, and we can figure a way out of here in 5 days. And Elsa's like going, no, you big dum-dum. The Bloodstone can transform you in 5 seconds. And he's like, oh, well,
problem.
So Jack goes, okay, so when I transform, you got to look me right in the eyes so I can, you know, try to help me remember. And then he decides to sniff all over her in order to get the scent so he can recognize her. Not a bad idea, actually, for a werewolf. Yep. So we get hooded figures coming in. It's just the hunters in hoods. And Jack is like going, okay, so look, I know what you're planning on doing. Why don't you just kill me the way I am? You don't wait for me to transform. Just kill me. And Verusa is like, nah, that's no fun. And she starts chanting in Latin, getting the Bloodstone to activate and to trigger Jack's transformation, which works. And we see, so Jack transforms into a werewolf. But the coolest thing was we see his transformation in shadows that are projected on the wall.
I think out of so far, from most of the movies that do this, this is my favorite.
I agree. It was so well done. Because they also used like not quite a strobe effect, but there were like lightning flashes that would highlight the shadow itself, the transformation. It was a very cool effect. And then we finally see Jack in the cage as a werewolf. The nice part was like they didn't have to spend a whole lot of money on actual physical transformation stuff. Those effects, like in American Werewolf in London, that kind of thing. But so Jack is in the cage as a werewolf. Verusa, because she's an idiot, gets too close to the cage. Jack pulls her in, and you know he's about to rip out her throat, but the guards shock him. The lights go out. Jack breaks out of the cage, up top of the cage, and he starts taking out the guards. Pretty handily, I might add. Just like, there's not much they can do. Because now that he's transformed, the shock sticks don't really affect him nearly as much as they were before. So the hunters get involved, but not only do they say, oh, we gotta get this werewolf, they also start attacking Elsa because everybody hates Elsa. So
just rude.
Yeah. So the guards attack the werewolf. Jack takes them all out. Verusa picks up the Bloodstone and attacks Jack. She seems to be having the most success.
Because shooting she's got out, the stone.
Yeah, it's shooting out electricity and stuff. And we see David Bowie and Elsa fight. And, yeah, I know.
It's such a weird visual if you don't know the character look. David Bowie.
But Elsa slits his throat and kills him. Elsa also takes out Verusa, which is good. And then Elsa approaches Jack, and she reaches for the Bloodstone, and she pockets it, because the Bloodstone was on the ground after Verusa died. And she keeps approaching Jack, and he leaps on her, and then looks into her eyes and stops. It's clear that he recognizes her, and then he takes off. And Elsa sits up, and we find out Verusa is not dead. She's still alive, and she says that Elsa is going to die. But then Ted comes in and kills Verusa. Just like picks her up.
Breaks through the wall.
Just breaks through the wall, picks her up, burns her to death until she's nothing more than a skeleton. And Elsa asks where Jack went. Ted takes off. Elsa sits down with the Bloodstone, and we hear Somewhere Over the Rainbow playing, and the whole scene turns to color.
Which was a really nice touch for the music. Really
nice touch. And there's been this kind of overwhelming thought that Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe generally is actually making a lot of their decisions based on The Wizard of Oz.
That's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. And and I've read a couple articles where there's a whole bunch of different examples. I mean, look, Iron Man is a Tin Man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right? And you can make an argument that the Cowardly Lion is the Hulk.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of things. It's really pretty cool. I don't know that it's that blatant, although, man, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, there's clearly an homage going on here.
Yeah.
Because the whole scene turned to color thing. But we flip to Jack, who wakes up human, and he's in a makeshift shelter, and Ted is hanging out there. Has a fire made, and there's a French press on the side of the fire, and he hands Jack...
They're monsters, they're not animals.
Right. He hands Jack a cup of coffee. And remember, that like Man-Thing is huge. He's like, what, 10, 12 feet tall?
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah. And Jack talks to Ted, and he says, hey, is Elsa okay? And Ted does his grunt that says yes, apparently. And they joke around a little bit about who's saving who, and then they talk about going for sushi. And Ted agrees.
Like, why not?
Right. We get a pan up to the sky, and it says the end. And we get credits. Now, this is where we get the hunters are named. Jovan was the Scotsman. Azarel was Bowie.
I like him better as Bowie.
Leorn was the Asian dude. Barrasso was the African-American dude. And like I said, this is where I found out that the guy who turned the crank for Ulysses was Billy Swan. Which is just such a weird name in the middle of all this other stuff. So, and that was it. I had so much fun watching this because it was very much an homage.
It's what, like 45 minutes?
Yep.
It's really well done. I love the fact that it was in black and white. The little spot color treatment for the Bloodstone was really nicely done.
Yep.
And Ted looks great. I think Ted looks a lot better in black and white.
I do too.
I actually don't think I liked his model that much in color because he actually, like, it's all practical effects. He is not CGI'd.
Right.
But he does look like that old style monster when it's in color.
Yeah.
In black and white, he looks excellent. In color, he looks a little cheesy.
I'm okay with it.
But
it works for me.
Is Swamp Thing, so yeah, it's fine.
Man Thing.
Oh, sorry, Man Thing. I don't want to get sued.
I really, really enjoyed it. I want them to do more of these specials. For whatever excuse they have to, and if it's all holidays, cool. If they do a Groot holiday special on Arbor Day, I'm happy.
Sorry, your connection is crackling up for me. One of the rumors is that... They're planning to do character introductions this way.
I heard somebody talking about that, and I hope that is correct. I would love to see them do that kind of thing. And so this one, while they did introduce every character during this special, you know, if we don't see Elsa in the Blade movie, I will be amazed.
That would be super weird if we didn't.
Because there were rumors at one point of Blade doing a cameo in this, and I'm okay that they didn't do that.
That would make sense too.
Right, but I'm okay with it. With the fact that they didn't. And the word from the director was somebody had talked about Blade as a cameo, and that's as far as it got. Like it was never a serious consideration. Or anything like that. I love this. I want more. And I don't even care if it's... Like, I want more Werewolf by Night. I want more Jack Russell at some point. But I'm okay with this kind of being a one shot. Because it just,
yeah,
like if they did another one in the same style, it wouldn't be as effective. Like I don't think you can go back to the well on this. I dug it. So
it was definitely a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And if they want to do, like, we don't need a full movie for X-Men. Well, for the whole team we do, but for, like, if you want to introduce a couple of characters together, like Rogue and Gambit, right? You could do a special for, as a one shot, you could do that.
Or crazy.
You know, just a couple of characters here and there that don't need their own movie as an introduction. You have one shots that bring him in and give you the backstory.
You know who I think we want one shots of to get them into the MCU?
Who?
Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Fist.
That crossover.
Yep, just to get them in and reset their place. Reset their place in the MCU.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I think it'd be very cool. And then other minor, you know, more minor characters, you know, if you want to, you know, there was talk and development of a New Warriors TV show at one point. You could do one shot stuff with those guys easily. So there's others that would kind of lend themselves to that. Sleepwalker is one of them. What's the name of that? Darkhawk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they both could be one shots pretty easily.
Absolutely.
Okay. So with that, I think we wrap up this episode. Sen, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every morning, at least still for now, on twitch.tv/SenRim for some Marvel Strike Force gameplay, some other stuff. I've been doing a little bit of Spider-Man Miles Morales lately, getting the story done on stream. So come by and say hello.
Sweet. And I can be found everywhere except for Twitter, because I'm still exiled for some reason, at VO by Kurt on Twitch, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, pretty much everywhere except for Twitter. We've got This Week in MCU, obviously. We've got, I do story time stuff every now and then with Story Time with Kurt. And really, I've been doing a lot of stuff on TikTok with my Fat Guy series. I am a fat guy, and I'm trying to lose weight. And the videos are all about my journey. So you can find me at VO by Kurt on TikTok. So with that, we will see you in just a couple minutes because we're recording another episode. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody. Merry Christmas.